appreciate, again, you coming out tonight and being with us in this evening service. Amen. I pray that you've had a wonderful afternoon, and it's just good to be back in church tonight. Amen. I like to be around God's people. I like to be where the preaching is, where the singing is, where the worship is. Amen. I sure appreciate you being here this evening. Open your Bibles with me tonight to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter number 59. I want to begin reading at verse 1, and I want to read down to about verse 19, Isaiah 59, some great, great verses found in your Bible, Isaiah 59, verse 1, down through verse number 19. And tonight, I want to speak to you a little bit on the thought of the enemy of the Christian home. The enemy of the Christian home. Bible says in verse 1, and if you've never marked verse 1 and 2 of Isaiah 59, do so this evening. Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Boy, isn't that good to know? Thank God God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save anybody. God can save whosoever will. Amen. God can save the uttermost. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear too heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities," and that word iniquities means your sins, "but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongues have muttered perverseness. Now calleth, or none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatcheth cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper." Verse 6 says, "Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their path." Verse 8, another great verse right here, "The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." Well, that talks right there about a lost sinner, amen. You're talking about somebody that hates God and doesn't want to be around God. Verse 8 talks about that point blank. The way of peace, the Bible says they don't even know the way of peace. There's no judgment in their goings. They have made their crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears, and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. Verse 12, another great verse. For our transgressions were multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. We know full well what we're doing. We know full well that we're sinful in the sight of God, and transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And I really want you to mark verse 14. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. We live in a society right now where we can honestly say that truth is fallen in the street, amen. You see all the wickedness going on nowadays. You see the corruption. You see the vileness. You see all the crimes that are taking place in America here tonight. And we can honestly, truthfully say that truth has fallen in the streets. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Verse 16 says, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Boy, it's bad when you have nobody praying for you. It's bad when there's no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garment of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he shall he will repay recompense. And I want you to mark here verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. And I want you to really mark this last phrase. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. What a great phrase. What a great text. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. And I got news for you. The enemy is coming in like a flood, amen. We live in a world right now where the devil and all his demons of hell, they're coming at us like a flood, amen. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You know, folks, if there was ever a chapter in the Bible that depicted the condition of our homes today, I believe with all my heart, Isaiah chapter 59 is that chapter, amen. And the reason this set of affairs is so evident in our homes is because of the enemy. You know, I preached this morning very strongly on the enemy that we're dealing with, amen. You may not realize it, you might even take it seriously, but there is an enemy that is attacking every Christian home in this world today. You say, but Tim, who is that enemy? You know who that enemy is very well. That enemy is the devil, amen. That enemy is the adversary, the destroyer, the deceiver, the liar, the accuser of the brethren. And at this very moment, Satan is accusing all of us here tonight before a holy God. Satan is accusing you of being vile. Satan is accusing you of being wicked, amen. And what we need tonight more than ever, we need that advocate, amen. We need Jesus Christ that will go to God himself and pray on our behalf. We need the Holy Spirit that will pray as it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. We need the Holy Spirit of God. We need Jesus Christ to go and pray on our behalf because we have an enemy tonight. And that enemy is real, amen. That enemy is very real tonight. And right now, he's accusing you. Right now, he's accusing your family. He's accusing your home before a holy God. You see, folks, Satan's on a rampage tonight. And Satan doesn't care who he hurts. He's forceful, he's fearless, and he's forward, amen. He's pernicious, he's persistent, he's powerful. He's deceptive, he's diabolical, and he's demeaning. And I've got news for you, he's out to get us, amen. And not like a ripple, amen, but the Bible says right here in verse 19, it's like a flood the enemy comes against God's people. Like a flood, he comes against our homes, amen. You know, I think about all these floods that are happening around the world. You see all these torrential downpours and all these tidal waves coming in. By the way, I don't know if you heard about it or not, but there was another earthquake that happened up in Montana at the Yellowstone National Park today. It happened there, I think 4.8 or 5.0 earthquake. That's two earthquakes in the past couple of days. We better be watching what's going on, amen. By the way, that movie Noah comes out. That movie Noah came out on Friday night in Los Angeles. While they was watching the movie Noah in Los Angeles, there was an earthquake of 5.2 hit them, amen. Then the next day, what happened? There was an earthquake hit Yellowstone National Park. We better wake up. God is about to come down upon this land, amen. God's about to judge us in a great and mighty way. But let me say that, do you know what the devil's goal is tonight? He's not after the government per se. He's not really after the church as such. But the devil's goal is to disturb and destroy the home and everything having to do with the Holy God. Because I've got news for you. As goes the home, so goes the church. Amen. As goes the home, so goes the educational programs, the business programs, and all other programs. It all begins in the home. We need some godly homes, amen. We need some righteous men and women, some righteous moms and dads that have stand up and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to live for my Lord and Savior, amen. By the grace of God, I'm going to try to serve God with all my power and all of my mind. Because if the devil can destroy the Christian home, I've got news for you, he can hinder the progress of the church. And if he hinders the progress of the church, he can weaken the structure of this nation, amen. And if we allow the devil to destroy our homes, if we allow the devil to break up our marriages and distract us from God, we will weaken the very fibers of our nation, and will weaken the fiber of the church, amen. There are enemies that are attacking the Christian home, amen. And you say, but then what are those enemies? What are those things that are really going after our homes? I want to give you three things tonight that are attacking our homes, and I want you to ask yourself, are these things evident in my life? Are these things evident in my home? Let me say the Christian home is being attacked, first of all, by satanic forces from below. Yes, take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. You know this verse very well. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let me read to you verse 8 and 9. I find right here there are satanic forces from below that are attacking homes. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. And by the way, when you resist him, you better resist him in the faith. Amen. Because if you're not in the faith, you're going to have trouble fighting the devil. You can't fight the devil. As I preached on this morning, you can't fight the devil in your own flesh. You better fight the devil in the Spirit of God. You better fight him knowing that God's on your side. whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You see, you're not the only one going through it. Everybody else going through it as well. But the Bible goes on to say there in verse 10, but the God of all grace. Boy, isn't it good we got a God of grace, amen? Boy, isn't it good we got a God that loves us and cares for us, who has called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that, you have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened. And thank God He settles you, amen. You see, folks, whether you realize it or not, but there are satanic forces from below tonight. There are demonic forces that are attacking our homes. And your life tonight is being governed either by Jesus Christ or by Satan himself. And sadly enough, there are many Christians that are submitting to the authority of the devil more than they're submitting to the authority of God. Let me just say here this evening, I believe there are seven demons tonight. There are seven demons that the devil is throwing against every one of us every day. You say, but then what kind of demons are you talking about? Let me say, number one, I believe there's a demon of discouragement. You know, if the devil can get mom and daddy discouraged about church, that will destroy the whole family program, amen. If he can get mom and daddy upset with the preacher, if he can get mom and daddy upset with the Word of God, if he can get mom and daddy upset with something going on in the house of God, that's going to affect everybody in that home. Children are not going to go to church because of that. I think about the demon of discouragement. I think about the demon of depression. You know, let's just be honest, more people are suffering from depression these days than any other time in our history. We take pills to get up. We take pills to get us through the day. We take pills to put us to sleep, amen. Depression is a demon, I believe, from hell trying to destroy the people of God. We better be careful about these demons we let into our home. There's a demon of depression. There's a demon of discouragement. Also, I think about the demon of despondency. There's a lot of folks now, every time you get around them, they're always despondent. They're sad. They're gloomy. They're never happy about anything. They never give God praise or anything. They never thank God for anything. I appreciate the song that Miss Marie sung out about thanking God. We need to thank God, amen. A lot of folks, they're despondent. You never hear them giving God praise. You never hear them giving God glory. There's a demon of despondency, the demon of depression, the demon of discouragement. There's a demon of despair. I mean, it gets to a point that you just don't have nowhere else to go. And you're wondering, God, if you don't get me through this mess, I'm going to go ahead and just take my life. I'm going to go ahead and just quit. I'm going to go ahead and just give up. And there's folks tonight, they're on the bottom floor of despair, amen. I mean, they're ready to quit. They're ready just to throw in the towel and say, I'm through with life. There's a demon of deficiency. In other words, you don't have anything left financially. You're deficient in finances. You're deficient in joy. You're deficient in emotions. And you're wondering, why is my life the way it is? I find a demon of discouragement, demon of depression, demon of despondency, demon of despair, demon of deficiency. Also, there's a demon of doubt. You see, folks, if the devil can get you to doubt what is right and doubt your salvation and doubt the Word of God and doubt Christ, then he has you right where he wants you. I mean, be honest tonight. Have you got to a point you're doubting things? Have you got to a point that you wonder, Lord, is any of this real? Lord, is any of this worth it? If that's happened in your life, I've got news for you. You got a demon on your heart. You got a demon in your mind tonight. And then there is also, number seven, the demon of defeat. You see, there's a lot of folks tonight, they're defeated. And they don't want to even try to fight no more. They've got to a point that they've literally given up. And they've got this attitude, whatever happens, happens. Whatever goes, goes. Let me just say this, you hear me well. Strongest family can be defeated if seven demons on top of it. I don't care how strong your family is. I don't care how strong you might be as a Christian. If you've got seven demons in your life, you're in trouble, amen. You wonder, but then what's our defense? I want you to go back here again to verse 19 of Isaiah 59. The Bible says in verse 19, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, what's it say? The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Thank God for the Spirit of the Lord, amen. Only Christ can destroy the power of Satan. Folks, you hear me well. There's a serious, real satanic attack from below against the homes. We're seeing homes destroyed every day. We're seeing lives changed for the worse in many areas every day. And there are demons all over this world that are trying to destroy and defeat God's people. And the question is tonight, are there satanic forces in your home? Is there discouragement in your home? Is there depression or despair?
Is there doubt? Is there defeat? I find the Christian home is being attacked by the satanic forces from below. But notice secondly, the Christian home is also being attacked by subtle forces from within. By subtle forces from within. Take your Bible and turn over to that great chapter in 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know this verse or these verses very well. We preach it quite often. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me read to you again verse 1 down through verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 down through verse 7. I find subtle forces from within. Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And by the way, if you don't think we're living in the last days, you're in trouble, amen.
Amen.
Folks, you just turn on the news, you'll see we're living in the last days. You read the newspaper, you'll see we're living in the last days. How do you know that, Brother Tim? I find it right here in the Word of God. Verse 2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. This homosexuality movement is moving around rapid, amen. It's as wicked as hell itself. Bible says, for men to be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers or different lusts. The Bible says in verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, a lot of folks say they come to church, they hear the preacher preach, and they're ever learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know why? Because they're not saved by the grace of God. You see, you must be saved by the grace of God for God to open up this book to you, amen. You got to be saved by the grace of God when you get any understanding of the precious Word of God. And sometimes that which happens within us is much worse than that which happens without us. Amen. Notice that Paul here, he lists a whole catalog of evils right here that are formed and molded in the home. And notice right here, in the midst of all these evils, is the disobedience of parents. Let me just say here tonight, disobedience to parents is as rapid today than this nation, this world has ever known. We find children nowadays don't have any respect whatsoever for parents, amen. I'll tell you that from first-hand experience. I drive the bus over there for the school, amen. And I see those children all the time. I see all those other children get on those buses. There's about 8,000 kids, I believe, that ride the buses on all the schools here in Jones County. And thinking about that, I've got news for it. There's a lot of rebellious young people in this county, amen. There's a lot of rebellious young people all over this state. There's a lot of rebellious young people throughout this nation, amen. Nobody wants authority in their life, and that's exactly what we're teaching our children, amen. Notice what it says here in verse 14 and verse 15. It says, but now, what's the answer? How do we teach our children to live right for God? The Bible tells us right here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise in the salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, the key to that is if we're going to have children that are holy and righteous, we got to start training them when they're children, amen. That means you need to make sure your children are in the house of God. Every time the doors are open, Sunday school, church, Wednesday night, when the doors are open, you put your children in church, amen. Bible says when you start doing that, that's what makes them wise. That's what helps them get through their hard times. When they get to the point of wanting to rebel against God, rebel against the church, sure, you're going to have some, they're going to go ahead and they're going to do what they want to do. So by the time I did that with my children, I raised them in church all the life. There's going to be some, yes, they're going to go out and they're going to live their life any way they want to live their life, but I got news for it. The Bible says that, you know, God does bring them back, amen. At some point, we got that promise there in Proverbs, you raise a child the way he goes, when he's old, he shall not depart from it. You know, if we raised them right, we've done our best for God. The Bible says right here that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise in the salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Teenagers, let me say this. Do people identify you as being good kids or godly kids? Young people, are you hearing me? When I say teenagers, I'm not talking about teenagers, I'm talking about all of our young people now. When people look at you, when people talk about you, they say, do they say that's a good kid, or do they say that's a godly kid? I want to encourage you tonight, don't just be a good kid, be a godly kid.
Amen.
Be a godly person for the honor, for the glory of God. There's a lot of good people, but good people go to hell.
That's
You know, you can be as good as you want to be, but that doesn't mean you're saved by the grace of God.
That's right.
Are you slipping away tonight from the things of God? Are the subtle forces from within, are they destroying your home? You see, the Christian home is being attacked by subtle forces from within, by satanic forces from below. But let me also say this. Christian home is also being attacked tonight by seductive forces from without. Seductive forces from without. Take your Bible one more time and turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Let me read to you verse 10 down through verse about 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. I think about seductive forces from without. Bible says in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. You may not know this, but as I preach this morning, folks, we're in a battle. There is a real spiritual war. There's a battle going on. And notice what Paul says here in verse 11. Paul says in verse 11, notice he used the word wiles. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You say, Brother Tim, what does that word wiles mean? It means an attempt to lure. It means to cast a spell, a magic spell on somebody. In other words, an attempt by Satan to lure you away from God. Putting you under a magic spell of some kind. You see, folks, the devil can so paralyze us spiritually. He can so paralyze us and deceive us that we think we're doing right. We think everything's good. We think everything's holy. We say, well, I'm not living that bad. I'm not living that terrible. I think I'm a pretty good old fella. He has no difficulty making sin look innocent. And I'll have young people often tell me this. Matter of fact, I've had some parents tell me, well, preacher, there's no harm in this. It's just innocent fun. There's no harm in this. Everything will be all right. He said, but then what do people say that's innocent fun? Let me just say this. I know one thing they say is innocent fun. They say rock and roll music's innocent fun. Matter of fact, take your Bible right here. You're in the book of Ephesians. Jump over to chapter 5 and verse 19. I want you to read this right here. Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, what's it say? It says, speaking to yourselves, what? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, there's not a verse in the Bible that says rock music itself is sin, but there's a verse right here that tells me all I'm supposed to be singing in my heart is psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I'm just singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord. And I've got news for it. There's not a rock and roll song on this land today that can give praise to Holy God. Amen. And to say so is a lie to the depths of hell. Amen. Rock and roll music is evil. And no Christian home ought to allow that kind of music in their home. That should not allow that kind of perversion in life. It's dangerous and it's destructive. Amen. He said about them, it won't happen to us. We can have that kind of music and we'll be okay. I've got news for you. It's happening right now in many homes of Christian homes, and their lives are being destroyed. Their children are being destroyed. Amen. And for your own good, you get that rock music out of your home. Amen. It doesn't honor and glorify God. You can't say it's not going to be played in heaven. I've got news for you there. But we're not going to sing that kind of music in heaven. Amen. And the Bible says that whatsoever we do, we should do with all of our might. Let me just say this. You say, what kind of stuff we call innocent? People say, well, you know, hard rock music, all that kind of stuff, that's innocent music. No, that's not innocent music. That promotes wickedness. That promotes adultery and fornication. Amen.
Amen.
I want to tell you something else. I think about dances and proms. Oh, you say, but then you kind of get meddling off into things you shouldn't be meddling off into. Bible says right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 31. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, that's a strong statement. Everything I do, I should do for the glory of God. And I got news for you. Dancing does nothing but promote and encourage sex. Amen.
Right.
You can't get in the house of God and dance. You can't sit there, the kind of dancing you make in the prom and the kind of dances you make on the dance floor. If you were to come in the house of God and say, I'm going to give God glory with that. That doesn't give God glory.
Amen.
That doesn't praise God. There's not one thing spiritual or godly about the worldly dance of our day.
Amen.
You think about it for a moment. All it does is it promotes sexual moves.
Yes, sir.
You're sitting there showing your sexual promiscuity, showing your sexual attractiveness, so to say. You're trying to identify your body sexually, and that's as wicked as can be.
The
Bible says the bedroom is undefiled, but it doesn't say the dance floor is undefiled. Amen. We got to make sure what we do.
Yeah.
We got to make sure how we act for holy God. Can you sit there and be dancing on the dance floor, sit there and give God, or give somebody the gospel? I don't think you sit there and give somebody gospel and be a soul winner for God while you're dancing that kind of way. I mean, that's wicked, folks. Let's just be honest about it. That's ungodly. That's perverted, amen. There's nothing righteous. There's nothing holy about it. And by the way, this church will throw me out of the pulpit if I got on the dance floor, and so they should, amen. By the way, I'll never do it. But if I were to do it, you ought to throw me out of the pulpit. I mean, that's just wicked. That's ungodly. And yet we allow our children to do that, which we know is wicked. We know it's corrupt. And we just don't care. Well, Brother Tim, that might not be your thing, but that's okay with me. I don't care if it's okay with you. It's still against God. Amen.
Yeah.
Whatsoever you do, whatsoever therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. You can't tell me it's glorifying God. When I watch you, don't glorify me. Amen. I don't sit there and want to praise God when I see you dance like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit there and give God praise when I see somebody making those kind of perverted, ungodly moves, because all it does is draws attention to your body. It draws attention and does things perverted ways that it shouldn't be doing, amen.
Yeah.
Young people, I ask you again, are you just good people? Are you just good kids? Or are you godly kids?
All right,
you see, time will tell.
Yeah.
You can talk the talk, but it's all about walking the walk.
Yeah.
By the way, there are five things your parents can do to build a fence and protection around your home, amen. Let me say, first of all, know what your kids listen to.
Yes, sir.
Know what your kids listen to, amen. Folks, there's a lot of things going on out there today in this old world of music that's just as vile as it can be.
Right.
Number two, know whom your kids associate with.
Yeah.
Make sure you know who the friends are. You know, Absalom had a friend. Or should I say, I think it was Absalom had a friend. You know, many times we think we have good friends. We think we have righteous friends. And they're just as vile as they can be. You know what your kids listen to? You know what whom your kids associate with. You know where your kids go. Know where they go when they say they're going on a date. You know what time they go out. You know what time they come in. You know what they take with them. You know what they bring home. You know, it's sad to say, and I told somebody this past week, you know, we have a strange phenomenon in American culture. We fence up our pets. We turn our children loose. You think about that. We fence up our pets. We want to protect our pets. God forbid we turn our kids loose. We say, you go have yourself a good old time.
That's right.
God have mercy on us as parents.
Amen.
God have mercy on us as a society. Amen. You know, as young people, you know, teenagers should govern their lives by the principles of God's Word. Let me give you some principles right here in the Word of God. Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs. And Proverbs chapter 7. Let me read to you verse 1, 2, and 3. Proverbs 7, verse 1, 2, and 3. These are some principles to govern your life by as a young person. Proverbs 7, verse 1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments. In other words, obey your parents, amen. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. But notice God says here in verse 3, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart.
Right.
In other words, don't just have it as what mom and daddy believe in, you have it in your own heart, amen. You see, make it a part of your own life. Folks, I'm going to say tonight, the only hope for the home is an umbrella of divine protection. And may God give us homes that are holy. May God give us homes that are pure and righteous in the eyes of Christ. I want a holy home. Do you want a holy home? Do you want a righteous home? Do you want a home that glorifies Christ? Then let's pray for that tonight. Let's get around this old-fashioned altar. And let's beg God tonight to bless our homes, bless our children's homes, bless our families' homes. You say, but then my children's all grown up, they're out of the house. You ought to come pray for your grandkids.
Amen.
You ought to come pray for your nephews and nieces.
That's right.
You ought to come pray for your family members. You know tonight, you know some home that needs prayer. Let's pray for those homes tonight. Let's bow in prayer this evening. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. I pray this evening. Let's make sure we pray for those homes. If we allow the devil to destroy our homes and break up our marriages and distract us from God, folks, we weaken the very fiber of the church. Amen. If the devil can destroy your home, he can hinder the progress of this church. And parents, the enemy is out to destroy your home. The devil is out tonight to tear you apart. Why not tonight pray for divine protection? Pray for divine guidance and leadership. Young people, why not tonight determine not just to be good kids, but godly kids? Those who glorify the Lord. Father, we thank you this evening for every soul in this room. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, I pray, give this church some godly homes. Give this church and these people and this community, Lord, some homes that are serious about living for God. Father, I pray that we'll pray for holiness, purity, and righteousness. Speak to every heart in this room tonight. Speak to our young people. Lord, I pray these young people, Lord, to have a desire to not just be good kids, but godly kids, holy and righteous in thine eyes. Do a work of grace in this place tonight, I pray in Christ's name. As we stand to our feet, music continues to play. There are saints of God already at the altar. As we stand up, why not come on down? Pray at this altar and ask the Lord to help us have godly homes, righteous, holy homes. The devil's out to destroy him tonight. Folks, you can mark it down. He's out to destroy him tonight. Let's pray. Young people, pray that God help you be a godly young person, a godly teenager for the glory of God, a godly Christian. Let's do all we can do to be the best we can be for God. Yes. Yes. Mom and Dad, pray for your home. Pray for divine protection, divine guidance. Pray for leadership. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Maybe you know somebody now, they need prayer. Maybe you know about a family, a friend, a neighbor. You know if God doesn't get a hold of their life, they're headed for destruction. They're headed for defeat. Maybe you're fighting some demons tonight. Maybe there's some demons in your life, or demons in your family's life, that you want those demons out. Let's pray tonight. Let's ask the Lord tonight to help us have victory over those demons. Amen. Yes. The enemy's going to come in like a flood, but the Spirit of God is going to be there to help us. He's going to be there to strengthen us. He's going to lift up a standard and say, this is the way to go. This is the way to live.